I almost forgot the most important announcement, that right after worship, we have a Boy Scout pancake feed. So please stay for that and support our troop. Now, for you through the Bible in a year, folks, do you remember what made Matthew so different than the other three Gospels? A lot of you observed to me that the Jesus of Matthew's Gospel was the most challenging and the most demanding of the four portraits of Jesus that we get from the Gospels. I remember having this conversation with Sarah. Jesus, for Matthew, is a strict teacher of the law, and he demands that each one of us who choose to follow in Jesus' footsteps live up to a crazy, hard level of righteousness. Did you catch it in this morning's readings? Matthew's Jesus is not exactly a sweet and easily lovable, forgiving figure who tenderly gathers the little children in his arms. That is not Matthew's vision of Jesus. Now this year, this is the year of Matthew's gospel, year A of the three-year lectionary cycle that we follow. So you're going to be hearing a lot of Matthew in this year ahead. Expect Jesus to question your commitment to him, to ask us to live up to a very strict code of righteous behavior, and give everything that we have and all of who we are to come and follow. Are you ready? Can you do that? That's a tall order. Now, Matthew's gospel, it's also the longest gospel, and there's a lot of teaching. I like Mark, there's not so much teaching. There's a lot of teaching in Matthew. Five sections or long sermons that Jesus gives. Now, here in chapter 5, we encounter the first of those five sections, and it starts with the familiar Beatitudes. You know, the blessed are the fill-in-the-blank sayings. Then he gets down to business really quickly. See, for Matthew, his gospel is all about identity. So remember that as you read his gospel this year, and we go through it. Identity, identity, I'll say it one more time, identity. See, Matthew's audience, the people for whom he was writing, were former Galilean Jews who had become followers of the risen Christ. They still saw themselves as Jews. They still worshiped in the synagogue. They still lived as Jews among their Jewish neighbors in Israel. Yet they were different. They knew it, and their fellow Jews knew it. You see, for Matthew's audience, it was all about redefining their identity in the light of their faith in salvation by Jesus the Messiah. Yet, being faithful and true to their culture and their heritage. So we should expect as we go through Matthew that Jesus will be helping us and them to define who we are as followers of Jesus and as members of our society here in the land of the good life. What is our true identity, and how do we navigate the demands Jesus places on us? That's where our reading for today picks up. Now, the famous Roman naturalist and philosopher Pliny the Elder once wrote that there is nothing more useful than salt and sunshine. I suspect that our moms and grandmas would agree, right? Who got sent outside every morning, no matter what, because you needed fresh air and sunshine, right? Here, as Jesus begins teaching us about our new identity as his followers, he gets right to the point and says that the two things that are most useful in the world, salt and light, that they are exactly the same things that define our new identity as his followers. Now, since the beginning of time, salt has been used for two things, preserving food and giving food flavor. Salt on roads, that's a new thing. It's always been considered a symbol of purity as well. For Jesus, as he begins teaching about his new kingdom of God, where everything will be turned upside down, the point Jesus is making is that we, his followers, are called to flavor the world. And that means flavoring the world by filling it with his mercy and his wisdom. And that will come from how we live in society, by how we speak, by how we act, and who and how we choose to live God's love out through us. Now, exactly what that wisdom is, we'll talk about in the weeks to come. Mercy seems more obvious in meaning, and we'll be looking at what Jesus means by mercy all through the life of Jesus in Matthew's gospel, by how he chooses to live mercifully. The point is that as Jesus' authorized representatives, and that's what you and I are as followers of Christ, Jesus' authorized representatives. You don't get a name tag, that'd be a little weird, but that's what you are. Your words, your actions, your deeds are done as authorized witnesses to Jesus Christ in our world. Now, does that make you rethink some of your words and actions over the past week? Because it sure makes me rethink some of them. So as Jesus' authoritative witness, we're called to preserve and serve this world as we live out that message of the new kingdom, which has already come. There's a warning, though. Then, as today, most salt comes from the evaporation of seawater. That rock salt stuff, which is kind of nasty, have you ever looked at it? There's a whole bunch of colors in there. Don't eat that, kids. That's mined. Most salt comes from saltwater evaporation. Anyone ever been to the Great Salt Lake? I went to Salt Lake City 20 years ago for a business trip. I was so pumped. I could not wait to get out to that Great Salt Lake to at least wade in it. It took me 3 days of terrible meetings till I had an afternoon free and I get out there. Is it as clean and fresh as you thought? Frankly, it stinks. Why? Well, the impurities in the water, the traces of brine shrimp and microorganisms, who thought things lived in that lake? They're deposited along with the salt around the rim of the lake by evaporation. And all that decay and nastiness makes the salt useless. You can't just pick up that salt, unless you're crazy, and use it and eat it. It's nasty. Frankly, I never got my feet in the water because I wasn't walking through that giant layer of slime to get up to the water. It was terrible. It needs to be purified by dissolving and recrystallizing. Your big science word for the day, recrystallizing, until it's pure. Even then, there's still some trace junk left behind. The salt obtained from the Dead Sea that Jesus would know, that's no better. It also carries impurities and junk that can make it turn rancid over time. Jesus' warning about salt becoming useless is that the more we compromise the terms of our call to follow, and the more we negotiate what makes us Jesus' witnesses in the world, the more in danger we become of losing our saltiness and becoming nasty. Kind of scary to think about, isn't it? Then he goes on, as if that's not bad enough, and that's not enough, to call us the light for the world, just as he is the light of the world. You are to be light to the world simply by shining in the darkness. You see, Matthew's audience was a group of people who were being terribly persecuted by their own people. Forget persecution by Rome. That was still down the road a bit. You know, when that happens, our tendency is to hide what we are from the world so that we can be safe. Jesus tells them, though, to shine for all they're worth. Shine, shine, shine. Sounds like one of those praise songs, doesn't it? Just as when Jesus shines in his life to bring praise to God, Jesus wants us to shine to do the same thing. Now, are any of you scared already by what Jesus is saying, by what he expects of us? I sure am, and you would be crazy if you weren't yourself. This is radical, crazy, foolish talk, and we can't live up to it. But it doesn't end there, folks. Then he goes and raises the stakes in the next section. He talks about the Pharisees, people who were known for their righteousness and their dedication to following God's law that Moses had given to him by God on Mount Sinai. He, Jesus that is crazy enough to tell us that we need to be even more righteous than the Pharisees are. They can spend all of their waking hours being obedient to God. And yet, Jesus wants us to go even further than that. Forget about being salt and light. Jesus wants even more from us. Are you a little concerned about living up to this new identity Matthew is talking about? Because I sure am. How the heck do any of us stand a chance of being even more righteous than the most righteous people we can imagine? Now, I suspect that as we continue hearing the Jesus of Matthew's gospel teach, he will flesh that out for us. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm curious to find out how this is all going to end up. For now, though, let it be enough that Jesus begins his time of teaching us to remind us that we are to be salt and light for the world. That's a good place to start our pondering, to think about the times that we've been salt and light for others. And even more importantly, think about the times when we denied being salt or light. To think about the times we tried to hide the light of Christ shining in us so that we could do as we pleased and not as Jesus expected us to. To think about the times that we withheld our salt from situations and circumstances out of fear or pride. To think about how we deliberately walked away from people or situations when the seasoning of Jesus' love and mercy and forgiveness would have improved things. That's a tall order and very sobering. But let me just add one little thing. Think about the ways our lives have not measured up to that high bar of righteousness that Jesus calls us to live up to. Now, next week, Jesus is going to begin spelling out. So, folks, you've got to come back next week to find out how this new righteousness or greater righteousness plays out. But now you see why Jesus Matthew is a tough Jesus to follow. His demands on us are pretty big. I dare say impossible. But thank God. Thank God in Jesus Christ that the last word is not, sorry, you just don't measure up. Thank God that in Jesus Christ, the first and the last word in our lives is grace. That in Jesus Christ, we have been given the grace to try, the grace to be forgiven when we fail, and the grace to try again. And nowhere do we see and smell and taste that grace of God in Jesus Christ than here at this table. Here at the table of our Lord and Savior, where we're invited to taste and see the goodness of the Lord, to taste and see the grace and the love that God has given to us through His Son. So come to this table and find rest, and find peace, and find grace for your journey of faith. Great righteousness, that's a big demand. But God's grace in Jesus Christ is bigger than our need. Amen.